The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. Zephaniah 2:11. Whether godly or ungodly, the Word of God tells us that all men and women, races and nations will eventually be brought to worship the God of all creation. And our cut-off-at-the-knees teachers speak of a fantasy Book of Revelation revival which will never come. How can there be a revival in a house in which judgment has begun? There are only revivals before judgment. And sad to say, you hope in vain. The Lord our God is being revealed to the entire world at this present time, in judgment and in his holy indignation. To his saints, he is revealed in mercy and great majesty. Our God has walked out into plain view, but we do not see him, nor do we recognize him. Well, many more shall shortly be added to the list of those who shall witness his terrible judgment and wrath and recognize it and him for what it truly is. Who can stand before this indignation? Who can hide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Nahum 1:6. God's indignation is upon us all. And who can stand? And through this fire which is coming upon us, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? 1 Peter 4:18. Scarcely? Does this passage of truth bode very well for the multitudes proclaiming their salvation today? Is this their idea of being saved going to save them? Now? Today? My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. Jeremiah 4:19. Some of God's men out there have heard the trumpet and the alarm, and who is listening? Mankind is now trapped. This combustible blanket of indignation will very soon ignite in fires of chaos and ruin across the world. And the fires will be fed by our fear and rage and despair. Then we'll see how well the professors of Christ will fare. The professors. The time is at hand, brethren. And what do we see now? The ominous tremors of fear and calamity have grown into what we are witnessing now as almost continuous birthing contractions. And spoken of by Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 28:4, all these are the beginning of sorrows. How are we faring now, folks? Just here at the beginning. How is life in your neck of the woods, people? Yearning for the good old days, are we? Well, they're gone. They will never return. The Lord God has said that he will contend with them that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Isaiah 49:25. Who will God look upon with mercy these days? Psalms 33:18-22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. But God will not look upon those whose lips profess and whose hearts be far from him. And those are the multitudes. And the righteous scarcely be saved. Saved by their own righteousness, are they? Certainly not. Unless your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees. I don't want the righteousness of the Pharisees. I want the righteousness of Christ. Don't you? That is the measure by which we are looked upon by God as righteous, retaining his holy gift of faith. And this path of reasoning has led straight back to a narrow way, an agonizing walk, a fight, a race, and back to the few that find life, lest Jesus Christ be a liar. We have not been prepared for that which is upon us, O multitudes, that which will threaten to destroy us by virtue of simple attrition. The multitude that calls themselves saints of the living God have been prepared for a slaughter and will be ill-suited to weather this storm of indignation which has arrived. I tell you, the false teachers of your own gospels, you that are beside me and behind me and in front of me, that you are not preparing your flocks for what has surrounded them. If you can find the heart, get your sheep ready to stand in their faith. It is all they will have when this fire sweeps over us. Your sheep will not be able to rely upon your trinkets of idolatry and your studies and your tapes and your CDs. You have taken their money, their hearts, and their minds, and have left their souls waste in front of the gates you have barred by your miserable bellies. You have shut up the kingdom to them and to yourselves. You have given them chariots, not truth. Listen, people! And a curse be upon you that seek deep to hide your counsel from the Lord. You have sold his sheep into slavery. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Psalms 33:16-17. Who will save you now? Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. You have forsaken the Lord. You have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. You are gone away backward. And from this mire of calamity upon calamity, you cry out to God and he will not listen. He will laugh at your calamity. We have built our houses to burn, and now hope flees like rats abandoning a sinking ship. Think about it. Open your eyes and look. Have you not procured this unto yourselves, in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you by the way? Your own wickedness shall correct you, and your backslidings shall reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, saith the Lord God of hosts. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake you shall be ashamed, and they that depart from you shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters, even his Son and Savior Jesus Christ. You have chosen a way which seems right, O ye simple ones. With God is terrible majesty, and the terrible insanity which now spreads unchecked and unabating will strike at the very foundations of the spiritual houses of his true saints as well. The true saints are giving God much glory and praise now. The earth has not begun to shake, nor the sky rain down its terrible trouble from the storehouses of heaven. That is yet to come, but not far away. It now begins in our cities and our towns. It has done so. The world arrays itself for war, and there will be nothing to compare with it, including our childish perceptions of hell. Feeble hands will raise themselves up and shake their clenched fists before a sovereign God who has had the mercy to allow them to breathe his air, to a sovereign God who has fed them every day of their miserable lives, a sovereign God to whom they have never truly given thanks. It is today, saints and brethren. It is now as we speak. The Sissified church upon this earth and its effeminate leaders fears now. This is true. Despite what sounds they make from their pews and pulpits, saints of the living God, the church, the apostate church, fears now, and they still seek deep to hide it. Their faith in Baal will not save them. Their wealth vanishes. The abomination which makes desolate now consumes even its own worshipers. Delusion has seen its work. Now comes a sword and fire. Our bowels shall be shed out onto the ground. And our mighty and sovereign God will sit above in the heavens and behold the sons of men, the inhabitants of the earth, burning, looting, cursing, and butchering. He will behold his wrath, and it will please him. It will please him that his justice be brought upon the earth in blood. It will please him that they which survive will be brought, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen, to worship him, whether they want to or not. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess. We have forgotten the truth out there, brethren. Teachers, we have forgotten the truth. Everyone will be brought to worship him, but only after the fires have consumed their lying idols and their false gods, and the sinful in the camp be purged, and their cursing tongues be silenced because of his terrible majesty. God's few will trust in his mercy. Their hearts shall rejoice in his salvation. They will be glad and they will rejoice in his mercy, and they do today. For he, their God, has considered their trouble and has known their souls and adversities. God shall not abandon his elect. His elect hide in God, their refuge. They have forsaken the world as was their calling. We know our hope. Our hope has a face. Our hope has a voice. And his sheep know his voice. It has begun, saints. The worst is just in front of us. It shall not relent, for God is no liar. If you silly church posers have anticipated true judgment at all, you will now see the sights and smell the smells and hear the sounds of real calamity. You already are. You will be swept out of your armchair Christianity and into a world of reality, the likes of which you will not be able to stand. You lived in your prophetic fantasies, now witness real life, real prophecy, the way the ancients witnessed God's bloody indignation and death. And by the way, I repeat, it has only begun. The fires are lit. And where will all this lead? To the next manifestation of futility, I say. Ezekiel 7:19. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels. We're talking spiritual and physical here, saints. Your gold gonna save you? Your silver gonna save you? You urinated away your money if you bought gold and silver, saints. The world already knows what it's done because it seeks to preserve its own filthy, lying skins. But you saints who are buying gold and silver are an abomination before God. And you know it. Every single one of you knows it. So hold on tight to your gold and your silver and cast them into the streets with the rest of those that are condemned for their idolatry and their faith in goods and precious metals and guns. You will be condemned unless you give it all up. And if you don't like what I say, brethren, take it to some preacher who will tickle your ears. I'm sick and tired of this weakness, my own included. And I will stand for the Lord and his truth. Where will you stand? Your gold and your silver and everything else you believe in that the Lord God has not given you by his hand are stumbling blocks of your iniquity. Wake up, saints of God. Gird yourselves for war. Put your toys and your junk aside and gird yourself for war. The war for your souls.
The skirmishes have become full-scale battles across an entire front. Your souls are the target, not your miserable goods. Stand in your faith. You are few, but you belong to your God. And do not disgrace him by walking away from your priestly duties. It's too late. We've gone too far. Don't turn back. It's now or never. A reckoning comes. And to the few called of the Spirit of God to Jesus Christ, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Humble and thankful, brethren. Quiet, meek, and at peace. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Endure until the end, saints, and be saved. Amen.